Amen. Thank you, Lord.
Amen. Wow, yes. What a good day, huh?
Oh, man.
Thank you That's all for good. Your obedience to the Lord there. By the way, today we want to honor all the veterans in the yes. house. Everyone
thank you
who
all.
Has served yes. in any branch of the armed forces, thank you. Thank you. Thank you for your sacrifice.
Thank you.
We are very, very grateful. And we realize the price that's been paid.
Yeah.
And we're thankful for the freedom we have. Amen?
Amen.
Which is freedom to worship is one of the many freedoms that we absolutely are so grateful for.
Yeah.
We're going to have Cody come up this morning. Welcome Cody Tyler, if you would. And Cody.
Love that picture.
And Heather. Got a dog. I didn't know they had a dog. And, you know, Cody, Heather, and little Landon are missionaries with Youth with a Mission here in Louisville. And really that came about in so many ways because they joined us on a trip to Nicaragua. And God spoke to them and challenged them. And I remember when Cody's mom and dad came, brought the kids, and Cody was just pretty young at that point.
Yeah.
And I've been doing this
a
while.
13 or 14 years old.
13 years old. And God planted the seeds and just harvested those seeds. And man, what an amazing
yeah.
man of God and woman of God. And they're raising another champion of the faith. And
hey.
Oh, there's Heather. Hey, we're going to have you another week, though.
Yeah.
So even though you're coming, yeah. it's okay. But Cody's sharing today. And we're going to hear from you another time because we want to hear from you also. But these guys... It's been a little while now because there's been a lot of challenges that have kind of gotten in the way. But they wanted to share with you what God did in Turkey. I put a little map up here, and you can see the arrow. But look where Turkey's located, just in case you're not familiar. I mean, it's right in the middle of a very strategic part of the world where I believe God wants to move with power. You're talking just north of Syria, Iraq, Iran, just south of Russia, Georgia, the Armenia, Azerbaijan. You're talking about a strategic part of the world. So, guys, we love you all. It's a blessing for us to support you guys through the Harvest Project. Share what God did.
Yeah. So, like Pastor Jeff said, Heather and I and Landon, we all went to Turkey, small team of eight of us, and we went for 28 days. We went to six different cities over those 28 days. And we partnered with a project called the 1821, and they wanted to go to every city in Turkey and hand out Bibles and evangelize however they could at whatever cost. Some of them were arrested. We weren't, but they were, you know, let go and everything was good. But they ended up being able to do that, but we were over in this area over here. And at one point, we were 107 miles from the Iranian border. Yeah, if you look at this lake on the large screen, we were right around in that area. Yeah, so 107 miles from the Iranian border, 130 miles from Iraq and Syria. We were very close. This is the furthest east that we had ever been as YWAM in our times going to Turkey. But during this time, in our travels over these six cities, we had to get to these six cities somehow. So we ended up having a church van. It was a VW church van that was like 27 years old. It was a five-speed manual, and I drove it. In Turkey, through these six cities, and I thought it was so fun because I would drive up to the roadblocks that they would be having, and you would see this 19, 20-year-old Turkish guy come up, and I'm handing him my passport, and we're just like, what is going on? And he calls his superior over, and it's always this little thing of, we had somebody that spoke Turkish in the van that would be able to translate for us, hey, we are just sightseeing and everything like that, and we were able to get through. They didn't, you know, search us or do anything like that, which, you know, I don't think we had anything like super illegal or anything like that on us, just the Jesus, you know, in a Muslim country. So, but no, I thought that that was pretty fun being able to drive in Turkey. But the story I want to tell you this morning is we were in this city called Tatvan right near this lake. You see Lake Van right there. And we were in that city. And me and one of the translators, a guy that had been living in Turkey over 20 plus years, were walking around what was similar to a boardwalk along the lake. And we're praying, and then the power goes out. Now, if anybody's seen like any kind of epic movie, The Power Goes Out in a city somewhere where it's like this over the top view and it's just and like lights out everywhere. And that's what happened in the city, lights out everywhere. So here we are, two Americans, and we just sit down by the water. We're like, all right, well, it's a good time to pray. So we're praying, Lord, I pray that you would, you know, just really simple prayers, nothing like super, you know, in-depth or anything. It's just, God, send us some people. If they speak English, that's fine. If not, we have a translator, but send us people. About 5 minutes later, guys, the power comes up. And then these two guys, they're giving us a look. Now, there are only two types of looks in Turkey. There are Americans. Wow, Americans. Let's go see them. And then there are Americans. Let's keep walking. But in our case, it was, ooh, Americans. So they walk over. And the first guy says, hello, how are you? And I'm like, you don't need to translate. I've got this. I'm fine. How are you doing? And that was all of his English. It was already spent, used right there. So I was like, okay. So we needed to translate. But they were like, hey, would you like to have tea with us? And we said, of course, we would love to have tea with you. So we went over to a local tea shop and sat outdoors. And we asked these guys, so what do you guys do? They go to a University of Istanbul. It's a pretty prestigious university in Turkey. And we have two of the brightest minds in the city. One is studying justice and law, and the other one is learning to be an engineer. And we ask, why did you go into these professions? And the guy, the engineer, says, because I want to build a better Turkey. I want to help. And then we ask the guy about law. Well, why are you studying law? And he said, because our system is corrupt, and I want to do something about it. And then he begins to say, without anything, he says, this is why I left the Muslim faith. During the coup a couple years ago, we saw that the pastors and the churches were preaching political things and agendas, and that is not right. That is not right. So I stopped. And right there, guys, he just opened the door, telling us he is not a Muslim. He doesn't believe in much of anything. And me and the other guy just look at each other, and we're like, can we tell you about Jesus? So we talked about Jesus for 3 hours that day. And then we got together with them 2 days later, and we talked for over 6 hours. Had the Bible out, reading it in Turkish with them, and then we left them with New Testaments. And I'd love to be able to finish off the story by saying they accepted Christ on the spot, they're involved in ministry, but that's not the case. You know, this is a lifestyle for them. To be Muslim is a lifestyle for them. So it takes a lot of unteaching and undoing, and while they were very skeptical and wanting to know more, they're going to try it because now they have the New Testament. I believe that God is going to work, and he is going to continue what we started in them. So that's just one of the stories of something amazing God did for us in Turkey. But.
Man, thanks for sharing that, Cody. That's awesome. Give Cody and Heather.
We love you all. Thank you.
Cody, when you talked about illegal things, why did you look at Heather? I just was curious why you... I don't think we had anything illegal, but he looked right at Heather. You'll have to finish that story. No, I'm just kidding. What an amazing story. I mean, what an incredible story. Listen, this is how the church in the New Testament exploded. People were willing to go. People were willing to lay their lives down. People were so passionate about their faith that nothing could stop them from going to other parts of the earth, doing whatever God called them to do. This is authentic faith. This is what we as the church today need to recapture. Amen?
Amen.
I'm proud of these guys. Give them another good hand. Amen. Awesome. Awesome. It is so cool. I just love it. Pastor Burke, come on up. We got a little something
Pastor
special
Burke.
We are going to do here this morning that has never been done in the history of New Song.
And you get to be a part of it.
And you get to be a part of it.
Exciting.
You get to watch two old guys. Come on up. Come on up, bro. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. We are celebrating today that we are debt free. Oh, man.
Freedom. Hallelujah.
Here it is, right here. In just a moment, we're going to do it at the count of three, and everybody can join in. And what happened to my thing? And Pastor Bert and I are going to, we're going to reenact that high five right there.
Yeah.
Pray for us. I'm not sure our vertical is quite that good. Oh, man. Hallelujah. We'll jump off the stage. That's what we'll do. Here it is, right here. Got to tell the story, God's glory, you know, man, I love it. It's just awesome. Long ago, when we were, I was going to tell part of this in the sermon today anyway, We were sick. We started in our living room. Remember that mauve carpet, honey? It was so beautiful. Started in our living room, wore that out, didn't know where we were going from there, just walking out obedience to the Lord. Called us to start a life-giving, spirit-filled church with a heart for people and a heart to reach out. We're like, okay, God, we're trusting you. Riding down the road, one day there's an elementary school. God spoke to me and said, stop there. I'm going to open a door there for you. Went in, the principal and I got to be friends. He was a good Baptist brother. I come from a strong Baptist background. He opened the door to the school to us. We ended up there 6 years, in and out every week. Rain, sleet, snow, cold, it didn't matter. 6 years, it was a long time. It was challenging. Every week, just to set up, we needed 15 to 20 people just to set everything up. We set up a stage, we set up a background, a sound system, classrooms, you name it. It was a lot. I remember calling Glenn Burris. I remember Glenn that was here just a couple of weeks ago. I called him one day. I said, Glenn, I don't know how much longer I can keep doing this. He said, Jeff, he told me something I didn't want to hear, but it was some of the wisest words. He said, keep doing what you're doing. Keep loving on the sheep that God's given you. Keep trusting God. And when the day comes, you'll know when God opens the door for you. And that day came soon thereafter. And this piece of property that you're sitting on right now, God opened the door in a miraculous way. We'd waited, we'd trusted, and for $189,000, we bought that house next door, 3,200 square foot house and 5 acres all the way back to that tree line, if you could see through this wall. That's not a bad deal, considering the little piece of property next door we've already been offered $200,000 for. Not a bad deal, $189,000 for this area especially. By the way, God knew what he was doing. Woodmont wasn't even there. Fox Run wasn't even there. Not even the McDonald's down the road was there at this time. God put us down ahead of all this and knew what would happen around us. God's the helicopter over the parade. Amen. He knows what's going to happen. He knows how to lead you into the right place. And by the way, we got a road that's going to come through here one of these days, and we're going to be seen by hundreds of thousands of people every day. And God's anticipated that, and he's getting us ready for that. Amen. So we raised $50,000, remodeled that house, but we borrowed $189,000, Pastor Bert. So that was the beginning of our mortgage and our indebtedness. And man, generous people, I mean, $50,000 from our congregation at that time was so generous. We remodeled the house, took on that debt. That was 98. 99, this piece of property came up for sale, $56,000. We had a dream to have that, have a contiguous piece of property. We bought that, rolled that into the debt. Okay, so do the math with me, 189 plus 56. And then the following year, we raised about $100,000, and then we built this building, and the indebtedness part was somewhere in the neighborhood between $300,000 to $400,000. So when you're talking debt-free, I'm talking a pretty good miracle here, because you're talking somewhere around $550,000 that God has paid off, and we are thankful to the Lord. So, Pastor Bert, I don't know, just grab this thing. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Honey, rip this thing up. Thank the Lord. That debt is gone. It is gone. We are debt free. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Here we go, bro. Ready? Woo! This is awesome. All right. At the count of three, we got to say it, man, just like Dave Ramsey. We're on radio right here. We're on Facebook Live. So at the count of three, we are debt-free. Ready, everybody? You've wanted to do that. You wanted to be on Dave Ramsey's program. You get to do it right here this morning in church. You didn't realize it. One, two, three. We are debt-free!
Free!
Yes! Amen. Thank you, Pastor Bert. Woo! We gotta work on our vertical. Hallelujah. I used to have a better vertical than that, but hey, this is awesome. Glory to God. Glory to God. All right, we're gonna receive our offering here in just a moment. Pretty good time for an offering, huh?
Amen.
All right, so I'm about out of breath. Lord, bless the giver and the gift, and may it be for your glory. Yes. And God, we're asking in these days ahead, that mortgage payment that has been consistently made for month after month after month, for year after year, God, would you show us, would you sovereignly show us how to use that to reach more people and make more disciples for your glory, to touch this city and to touch this world with your love. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. God bless you as you give this morning. Hallelujah. God is good. Amen?
Yes.
God is good. All right. Well, honey, why don't we go ahead and you tell us about this.
Hey, ladies, it's that time. We're going to have fun on Saturday. It is our Thanksgiving Revelation Wellness Workout. It is the 1, 2, 3, get going, gobble.
By the way, welcome
There's
home
Ms.
to Beth.
There's Ms. Beth Sloan. She just came back from Arizona. So she was with Revelation Wellness out there training people to be instructors. She was over a small group and did lots of stuff. So welcome home.
You're going to make it one of these days.
I didn't get to go this time, but I'll go in the spring, so it'll be great.
Amen.
God has perfect timing. So anyway, we have a sign-up sheet in the back. Please, ladies, if you want to get with us, we'll be in here on Saturday. We're going to be doing a great workout, and we always have fun, lots of laughter, and God is working through that ministry, so please come.
Amen.
And now we have a Christmas banquet. If you have, did everybody get their invitation in the mail? If you didn't, see Carla, because everybody's invited to that. We have so much fun. We sing together, worship the Lord. We do lots of games, eat lots of food, which is really good. So please come. That is, I can't see it. Hold on. December 14th. I have to look because I need my glasses. Anyway, so please come and let us know.
Do you want to talk about that?
Yes, yes. Oh, also, ladies, I'm very excited to let you know. You know, we do Esther's House, Women of the Well. Well, my dear friend Sandy got this great idea. She said, hey, let's collect mega bags. Ladies, if you haven't, everybody's got mega bags sitting around probably somewhere.
Not me.
Not you. Okay, I meant women. I'm glad you don't. Anyway, so we're going to fill them with lipstick and lotion, anything like that to bless our ladies at Women of the Well. We need 10 for Women of the Well. And Miss Sandy talked to Beside You for Life, which we also support and we give things to. But there's 30 women over at Beside You for Life, the moms that we're going to bless also
Nicole's
for
place.
Christmas. Yeah, Nicole's place.
Yeah.
Yes. So please, ladies, I have a basket in the back. If you can start bringing them in, I'll collect those and then we'll get those to them this month and next month.
You know what, for over two-thirds of my life, I've had a love affair with God's Word. I treasure it. I've sought for almost all the years of my Christian life to be in this Word every single day, every single day. By the way, some of you have asked and wondered what my little monitor thing is up here. It just gives me a little more access to the Word. I'm trying to find a way to use this that makes it better for you and I to engage with God's Word. I can't think of anything better to do than to help us every Sunday morning to engage with the precious and powerful and life-giving, life-transforming Word of God. It's alive. It's powerful. I want to bring you a living word every Sunday. You know, and if you can't see, I'm trying out different things here. If you can't see the text here, that's okay, because you got a really big screen right there that I guarantee you can. Can you thank the Lord for that? And when I'm pointing here, I'm going to be pointing at the words that are highlighted. So if you can't see me pointing here, this is kind of a tool for me, helps me to engage with the words, see it, show you. You can just see it right there. The words I'll be pointing to are the words highlighted, the words in red this week. Did them in yellow last week, and then I couldn't read my notes. The yellow didn't come through very good. So how many of you are with me? You love, you honor, you cherish God's Word. Amen. You know, man, I want us to be a people of the Word, a people who love His Word, who are passionately devoted to studying and ultimately living out this Word of God. So we've been running with giants over these last several weeks, and I have the privilege of introducing another giant to you today. I want to read you our theme scripture, Hebrews 12:1. Therefore, since we're surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, You'll notice that word witnesses. Witnesses are people who've been there, who've seen something and experienced it firsthand. Yeah, heard J. Warner Wallace, the great cold case detective from L.A., speak yesterday, and he talked about a direct witness and an indirect witness. A direct witness is somebody who saw it and experienced it. Hebrews chapter 11 is called the Hall of Faith, and it's full of witnesses, people who saw and experienced God in powerful ways. It starts with, you know, all the way back in the early days, the Adam and Eve, to Noah, to Abraham, Jacob, all the way through the great witnesses of faith in the Old Testament. You and I are surrounded by greats. I don't know if that encourages you, but it sure encourages me. And some of those witnesses, some of those great cloud of witnesses, are people in your family who lived it out well. One of the great cloud of witnesses for me is my great aunt Jo, who set such an example for me. I'm blessed to have Heidi and Talon and Krista with us here today. Welcome, guys. One of those greats of faith, this pulpit is dedicated to Connie Mimi Morrison. And there's my little plaque right there. It's there every Sunday. And she helped me get that pulpit way back because she was a precious, precious woman of God who loved the Lord with all of her heart. She's a part of that great cloud of witnesses. Can you imagine when you get to heaven and that you're surrounded by that cloud? You're surrounded right now, but you probably don't realize it, but you should. But one day you're going to go and you're going to see all that great cloud of witnesses. And they're telling us, they're encouraging us to throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles. This is not an easy race. This isn't just a sprint. This is a marathon unlike any other marathons. We have my dear brother, Wilson Frazier. He's a distance runner. He's an ultra marathoner, I think is the term they use. And he you know, 26-mile races are just not enough for him. He likes 100-plus miles. I'm like, wow, that's hard for me to even conceive, but that's a little more like the race we're running. And look what it says. Let us run with perseverance. Everybody say the word perseverance. What in the world's perseverance mean? I'll tell you what I think it means. Patient endurance. Patient endurance. It means, church, hang in there. It means don't give up. It means don't lose the pace. Don't get your eyes off the author and finisher of the faith. Keep at the race marked out for you. There's a race marked out for you. Keep at it. Don't get discouraged. Don't give up. And we're going to look this morning at a great woman of the faith who had a promise, and it was hard for her to hang on to that promise, and she tried to work some things out in her own power. I got to tell you this morning, I have some promises that haven't yet come to pass. And there are things I weep over quite often, and there are things that have broken my heart in ways I never expected it to be broken. But I'm hanging in there, and I'm not giving up. I have patient endurance, perseverance when it comes to the promises of God, and I hope you do too. Sometimes I get discouraged. My wife has to encourage me. My friends have to encourage me. But you have promises too. Maybe they haven't come to pass yet. Genesis chapter 15, let's look at this quickly. It says, after this, the word of the Lord came to Abram in a vision. Notice he's called Abram at this point, not Abraham. Do not be afraid. I love this. Do not be afraid, Abram. Almost every time God encounters somebody, there's that phrase. Because when you're in the presence of God, there's a holiness, there's an awesomeness, there's a reverence, there's just a supernatural power and presence. And our human flesh at times gets overwhelmed by that. Do not be afraid, Abram. And listen to this. God follows it up with a promise for him. I'm your shield. I'm your very great reward. But Abram said, Sovereign Lord, what can you give me since I remain childless? And the one who will inherit my estate is Eleazar of Damascus. And Abram said, you've given me no children, so a servant in my household will be my heir. Then the word of the Lord came to him. This man will not be your heir, but a son who is your own flesh and blood will be your heir. And I love this part. He took him outside and said, Abram, look up at the sky and count the stars. When's the last time you went out into a beautiful night Maybe you were somewhere far away from the city where the lights didn't drown out the stars and you just looked up into the heavens. I had that experience here not long ago with my dear brother Doug. We were there in Wyoming together, sitting around a campfire, a bunch of us men. It was a powerful time, opening our hearts, sharing what God was doing in each of our lives, praying for each other. And at the end, somebody said, "Have you seen the stars?" And we walked away from the campfire and the lights and kind of went out almost to the street. And right where the mountain lion was spotted the next day, I think. Thank God we didn't spot him that night. That would have been interesting. But we looked up, and I'm telling you, it was spectacular. To be honest, spectacular is an inadequate word to even describe it, wasn't it, Doug? Doug pointed out to me, said, "Look, there's the Milky Way. You can see it so clearly." It was so beautiful. You ever gone out maybe as a kid and tried to count the stars? Anybody ever tried that? You know, sometimes when you're in a spot and it's cloudy and you're in a city place, you almost think you can, but when you start, you realize pretty quickly it's impossible. Abram, look up at the sky, count the stars, if indeed you can count them. God knew he couldn't. Then he said to him, "So shall your offspring be." Abram believed the Lord, and he credited him to him as righteousness. I love the story with Abraham and Sarah. We're going to have Sarah come out of the stands this morning. And she's going to put her arm around us and take a lap with us around this race that we're running. And she's going to give us some encouragement. And some of it's going to be from her failure, because she learned some tough lessons along the way. Lessons that she'd like for you and I. You know, there's two ways to learn in this life. You can learn by experience, or you can learn by others' experience. You ever thought about that? If you are determined to learn by experience, you're one of those people who has enrolled into the school of hard knocks, and you're going to have to learn everything the hard way. And let me tell you, that's not an easy path. But if you're a wise person, the wise walk with the wise, and they become wise. And the wise learn from others' mistakes. Our series is really not just about looking at the characters, but looking at the principles behind their life. The Bible says these things were written for our instruction and our encouragement. So how would Sarah encourage you today as she takes a lap with you and comes out of those stands? By the way, it's interesting. Both Abram's story, he starts as Abram. Sarah starts as Sarai. And it's very interesting because both of these, this husband and wife, are going to encounter God in some different ways. But God's going to become such a part of their lives and their journey and their race that both of their names are going to change. In other words, God's going to get right in the middle of Abram's life and Sarai's life. And Abram, this exalted father, that's what Abram means, is going to become Abraham. And that "ah" that's added on is a part of the very name of God. He's going to go from an exalted father to a father of many nations. Sarai, which means princess, God's going to get right in the middle of her story. He wants to get right in the middle of your story. And he wants to insert himself in such a way that you can find your destiny. You can rise up and become the person God's ultimately designed and called you to be. And Sarai is going to go from princess to a mother of many nations. I love when God comes into the story and things begin to change, because we're so limited, but God is unlimited. So here's what I believe Sarah would say to us today. If she were here putting her arm around you and I, for when you can't understand God and impatience threatens to overwhelm you, I'm a self-confessed, very impatient person. Anybody want to be honest and join me in that confession this morning? I see some elbows. So, this is embarrassing, but I'm going to tell it on myself anyway, because it's the truth. When I'm at the grocery store, you know, sometimes Tracy sends me to the grocery store, and I've done my duty. I've gone through those aisles. I've found everything on the list, and I get ready to go to that checkout line. If I see another person heading toward my line, I race them. I'm going to beat them to the line. I don't want to wait an extra person. I have even been so bad, and I'm sorry, honey, please forgive me. But sometimes we'll come up to the line, and if it's longer, you know, I'm counting the people in the line. How about you? And not only that, but I'll actually say to my precious, wonderful wife, you get in that one, I'll get in this one. And whichever goes faster, we'll sync up. You know, I kind of put her in as a decoy, you know, just to make sure I end up in the fastest line. I'm sorry, but that's a problem I have. But here's what Sarah would say to us. When you can't understand God and impatience threatens to overwhelm you, don't complicate God's promise with your solution. Don't complicate God's promise with your solution. I'm telling you, impatience can threaten your life. It can mess up your life. It can cause you ultimately to take matters into your own hands. And I think Sarah would say, I messed up and it cost me greatly. Anybody here, you ever look back and there were prayers you prayed and things that you hoped for and, you know, thank God they didn't come to pass? You know, 15 years old and man, you wanted to marry that hunk in the class with you there in high school. And now you look back on Facebook and he's just a tub of goo and you're like, man, am I glad God did not answer that prayer. I mean, there's all kinds of things like that, right? When you go back and think about it, if you'd had your way and you were able to make your own solution, you know, you'd probably gotten yourself in big trouble. So this morning, we need to trust God, even if it takes a long time, because quite honestly, church, it probably will. It probably will. One guy says to God, hey, God, what's $1 million like to you? And God says, oh, just like a penny, you know. And, well, what's 1 million years like to you, God? Well, it's just like a second. And the guy says, I got an idea. God, you mind if I have one of those pennies? And God says, sure, just give me a second. Genesis 16. Now Sarai, Abram's wife, had borne him no children, but she had an Egyptian maidservant named Hagar. So she said to Abram, here she is coming up with her own solution to God's promise. God's already promised. God already had a plan. God already had a timetable. But impatience will threaten your life. It'll cause you to do stupid things, things that you will regret and pay a price for if we don't learn to wait upon God. So she says, she had an Egyptian maidservant named Hagar. So she says to Abram, the Lord has kept me from having children. Go sleep with my maidservant. Perhaps, and look at these words, I can build a family. Perhaps I can build a family through her. And Abram, you know, sounds like a good plan to me. Poor Abram. See, this is bad theology, church, to be quite honest with you. It's bad theology. When we get to the place where we begin to think God's not coming through and that we can somehow help him out, and we start taking actions into our own hands. How many of you know what I'm talking about here? Probably most of us in the room can think of some scenarios where we got impatient. We started doing some things out of our own flesh rather than out of the Spirit. We thought, you know, we just helped God out. Remember the old saying, and some people attribute this to Ben Franklin, that God helps those who help themselves. Remember that old saying? By the way, that's one of those that is not in the Bible. Can I just say to you, God helps those who trust him. God helps those who wait on him. God helps those who obey him. Amen? And God took Abram out, showed him the stars. You know, one of the things that aggravates me about this story is that Abram agrees with Sarai. He's passive, and we have a lot of passive men in the Old Testament, believe it or not. These were men's men. These were tough men, but for whatever reason, they gave in, and they didn't trust God, and they weren't always patient. Heidi's here this morning, and I was thinking as I was preparing this message, I had to share this story. It's one that I'm just so proud of my son that he did this. I think it was first grade. Heidi was Isaiah's teacher and Noah's teacher and Trevor's teacher, and they're in first grade, and Heidi asked the class one day, if you could go back in time and be anything, do anything, what would you do? And one of the little boys says, I'd go back in medieval times and I'd build a big castle. You know, and they all had these cool stories. And my son, I'm just really proud of him. I don't know where he got this or how he came up with this answer, but it just really made Dad proud. He says, I'd go back to the Garden of Eden. And when Satan came and tempted Eve to eat of that fruit, I'd take out my sword and I'd chop that evil snake's head off. I said, man, son, I like that. I like that. You remember that, Heidi? That is just a classic. I just was so proud of my son. But Abram agrees. He goes along with Sarai's plan and sleeps with Hagar. And, you know, they're trying to build a family. They're trying to work out a spiritual promise in a fleshly way. My good friend Greg Diedrich, who runs the Iron Bell, says, you know, what's birthed in the flesh has to be maintained in the flesh. We're still trying to maintain that all these years later. Have you ever thought about that? The conflict in the Middle East, which is a raging conflict. Every single U.S. president for the last 50 or more years has tried to step in, tried to bring peace, tried to somehow work things out, and all of it to very little avail, very little solutions there. Because what happens is they birth an Ishmael, and Ishmael becomes the father of really the much of the Middle East. And fleshly solutions never work on spiritual promises. When God says something, you have to trust him, and you have to wait on his timing. So you have to trust God even if it takes a long time. And secondly, you have to trust God even if it seems ridiculous. Because it probably will seem ridiculous. Because God often calls us very intentionally out of our comfort zones, out of those places where, you know, we want to gravitate toward comfort. How many of you have ever seen there's some business diagrams where they draw a circle, and in that circle is comfort, but outside that circle is growth. Outside the circle's growth. God's got to get you out of your comfortableness. By the way, the Bible never says that God promised you and I comfort in this world. What did he promise us? Tribulation. He promised us he was going to make us like his son Jesus. He's about something. He's up to something, but it's not for you and I just to be comfortable. Why does he send the comforter? Because things at times are going to be uncomfortable, and we're going to need the Holy Spirit's comfort in our lives. I don't know why my screen's doing this crazy stuff this morning. So, hallelujah. Sarah's 90 years old. Abraham is 100 years old. Genesis 18, the Lord said, I'll surely return to you about this time next year, and Sarah, your wife, will have a son. Now, Sarah was listening at the entrance to the tent, which was behind him. Abraham and Sarah were already old and well advanced in years, and Sarah was past the age of childbearing. So Sarah laughs to herself. Now, this isn't the kind of laugh of, you know, God comes and says you're going to have a baby at 90, and she goes, oh, thank you, Lord. This is awesome. I'm just so excited. No, this is kind of that, you know, what? You're kidding me, God? At this time? At this stage in life? It's actually almost like a mocking laugh. And I think if you look into the story, I mean, God almost gets offended by Sarah's laughter. By the way, let me just say this. You might want to write it down. We must be careful not to insult God with our small thinking. Oh, man, we like to keep God in a box. We like to make God predictable. This is part of our comfort thing. You know, because we gravitate toward comfort, we like to keep God where we can understand him and control him. Have you ever noticed? I mean, there's a lot of things in church that will rub you and will cause you to have to move outside your comfort zone. Let me take, for example, worship. Worship. Last week, Chris Tomlin spoke at Southeast. He was talking about the new book that he's just written along with his pastor, Darren Whitehead, Holy Roar. He just came up with a brand new album. And he goes back, I have a message on this. I'll probably preach something along these lines in the future. But he talks about the seven words for praise in the Hebrew language. You want to be stretched? Go Go back and look at those seven words. We use the word praise, kind of an all-encompassing thing. When we come to church, we think praise looks like whatever we feel comfortable doing. Not so much in the Hebrew, not so much in the biblical admonition to praise God. One of those words for praise, this was powerful, is todah, and it means to lift your hands in anticipation of blessings that God has yet to send. Man, there's a good reason to be lifting your hands to the Lord, folks. You know what? For some of you, though, that is a real stretch, and it's a real challenge. Listen, just start with hold the baby, you know, hold the baby, and then move on up to, you know, the big screen TV, and then get up there to goalposts, folks, to touchdown. Touchdown Jesus, you know, come on, Lord, bring it across the line, give me the breakthrough, trust the Lord. I mean, it's funny though, those things stretch us. Trust God, folks, trust God, even if those around you don't, because they may not. Genesis chapter 26, Sarah says, God's brought me laughter, and everyone who hears about it is going to laugh with me. Everybody who hears about this, listen, even though she was being challenged, even though she was a slow adopter, even though she was hesitant and kind of mocked God, even with her laugh, listen, God did something great through her. That leaves me a lot of hope. That makes me feel encouraged. I love the word. It's real. It doesn't gloss over the stories of this great cloud of witnesses. It tells it just the way it was. She doubted. She didn't believe. God came through anyway. So many times we get caught on that. Well, you know, it just didn't happen. I guess I didn't have enough faith. You know what? God works through imperfect people. In fact, here's one for you today. This is an extra, not even in my notes. This is a bonus. It's the only kind of people he works through. Imperfect people. You're looking at one very imperfect person, and I'm looking at quite a few because we're all in that category. Well, you know what we need to do, folks? We need to not react. When God says something that challenges us, when God comes to us with a promise that, you know, it just hasn't come to pass and we've waited, and just let's don't react. Let's be consistent. Let's trust God day in and day out. Let's keep changing the world. Let's keep giving generously to our missionaries and missions all over. Let's keep reaching people. Let's keep investing in our neighbors. Let's keep reaching out to those in our sphere of influence. Let's just keep being faithful to God. Let's just keep doing what God's called us to do. Because here's what ends up happening, and this is cool in the story. Sarah doubts God and still ends up in the hall of faith. Did you know that? If you haven't read it lately, here's Sarah's words of encouragement to us. Hebrews 11:11, and says, by faith, even Sarah. Now, it's interesting, that little word, even, because, you know, she didn't get it all perfect. Who was past childbearing age was enabled to bear children because she considered him faithful. Everybody say that word, faithful. When we're unfaithful, he's still faithful. Amen? Who made the promise. It wasn't about whether she got it all right. It was about the fact that he was faithful to his promises, and he always is. God's faithful even when you and I mess up, even when you and I fall short. So don't try to get ahead of God when he isn't moving fast enough for you. And like I told you, I'm very impatient, and it takes me, I have to intentionally settle down at times and sit quietly before the Lord. Let me share a scripture with you. This is a great one. 2 Peter 3:9. The Lord is not slow. You might think he is. It might feel like he is. He's not. You know why? Because he has a purpose behind the wait. He's doing something. He's up to something. He's not slow in keeping his promises. Some understand slowness. He's patient. And he's patient with you and I. He's patient to do a work in us. So, you know, what do you do in the meantime when you're waiting on God and things aren't happening as fast as you'd like? What do you do in the meantime? Well, let me just tell you, the secret of patience is doing something else in the meantime. And what might that be, Pastor Jeff? Well, I'm glad you asked. Let me share it with you. Psalm 37. It says, be still in the presence of the Lord. Would you read that with me? Be still in the presence of the Lord and wait patiently for him to act. Can I just say this? You can't get the second part of that verse if you don't practice the first part. This is a revelation. And this came out of our sabbatical. I absolutely believe that one of the things that we are going to have to get our arms around is waiting patiently in the presence of the Lord, is sitting quietly and listening for his voice. We fell prey to the world around us, and we're running around with like chickens with our heads cut off, just like the world around us. If we're going to be different and people of the Spirit, we're going to have to slow down. We're going to have to come back to that place of being in his presence and really listening for his voice and quieting and stilling our souls. When we do that, we'll be able to wait patiently for him to act. I just want to challenge you this morning even. Give it 10 minutes this week. Give it 10 minutes. Take 10 minutes, carve it into your morning. Try it. Start out with 2 minutes of just sitting silently. Find a comfortable spot. Take a deep breath. Open your hands before the Lord and sit silently before him. 2 minutes. It's going to seem like eternity at first, but it's going to be so healing. It's going to be so powerful. You're going to actually walk away going, wow. We get so conditioned to noise and activity and you know, this thing at the end of our arms that's always beeping at us and got something more important for us to deal with. Not really, but we think that. Sit quietly before him. Listen to his voice. I did that this morning. It's so healing for me. I try to do it every morning. Worship, wait, listen, slow down. By the way, God's not nervous and worried. Do you know that? God's not running around frantically. God's not, you know, if you come before the Lord, Lord, how are you doing? He's not going to go, oh, you know, busy all the time. No. God, listen to you got to hear this, and I'm gonna keep pounding this drum until we get it as a church, because I think it is so healthy and helpful for us. But in the beginning, when God goes through the creation cycle, and each day he's creating, he's speaking into existence, and he says, that's good, that's good, that's good. And then he comes to his ultimate creation, human beings, man and woman. He says, that's very good. And then on the seventh day, what does he say about that day? He says, this day of rest is holy. Good, 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 very good, holy. Wow. We need to stop and think about that, because many of us some of us are old enough in the room to remember when the world used to slow down on Sundays. Anybody remember that? It wasn't just Chick-fil-A who was closed on Sunday or Hobby Lobby. Everybody used to be. It was like a snow day every week. You got to slow down. You got to have dinner around the table. You got to talk with people, actually, instead of texting them. And, you know, it was something really healthy and helpful. We're going to have to slow down and reconnect with God if we're going to be his people in these days and make an impact on this earth. How many of you hear what I'm saying? All right, let me finish this up quickly. Number two, Sarah would say to us, when you must wait, focus on what's happening in you, not what's happening to you. Listen, if something's happening to you, probably God is wanting to do something in you. You've heard it said before, the greatest work God does through you is what he does in you. You know, the hurts, the challenges, the difficulties, the times of waiting, the times of even being brokenhearted, crying, weeping in his presence, somehow God wants to take all of that and recycle it and redeem it and reuse it for his glory. Sometimes it's that place of your greatest pain that ends up becoming the place of your greatest ministry. Let God do what he wants to do in you. And I've got to run on here. Even our very best cannot possibly compare to anything God has in mind. Isaiah 64:4 says, since before time began, no one's ever imagined, no ear has ever heard, no eye has ever seen a God like you who works for those who, what? Wait for him. Wow. That's powerful stuff. And let me end with this. Patience isn't the ability to wait, folks, but it's how you act while you are waiting. It's how you act while you're waiting. Are you trusting? Are you obeying? Are you allowing God to do the work in you? Listen, that's where perseverance comes in. Perseverance is a key part of being mature and complete in Christ according to Scripture. Let me just say, God has a much better plan for your life than you do for yourself if you'll learn to wait on him. I'm going to ask the worship team to come back. By the way, didn't the worship team do great today? Really appreciated their hearts. And come on back, worship team and ministry team, why don't you guys come up too? I always like to close with an opportunity. You may be here today carrying a heavy load, and you just need somebody to pray with you. I'd hate to send you out without you having the chance to have somebody pray with you. Let's all stand together. Everybody stand, please. So ministry team, come on up. These are faithful men and women of God who would love nothing more than to pray for you this morning. Amen. Let me pray over us. Lord, right now, if there's somebody, everybody bow your heads, close your eyes. Lord, if there's somebody here this morning that does not know you, has not personally committed their heart, their life to you, has not personally received the gift of salvation that you are so willing to give, Lord, I pray you'd move and work right now in that person's heart. By your Holy Spirit, just draw them. Just speak to them. And if that's you this morning, you just respond to God. Say, God, I want to know you. I want to serve you. I want the life that you promise in my life. Forgive me where I've failed you. I know I have. And come into me and live in and through me for your glory. Show me what it means to truly follow Christ, to truly live for you. If that's you, man, God heard that. And he answered that. And he's beginning a journey with you today. And I'd love for you to let one of these folks know this morning, if you don't mind, just slipping out of your seat in a minute and letting somebody know up here so they can walk with you. If you're here today and, you know, it's been a tough week and you've gone through some tough challenges, please come on up here a little bit. Let somebody pray for you. Don't leave this place burdened down. Let God do a work in you. Lord, thank you for what you're doing. Holy Spirit, speak to each one today. In Jesus' name, amen. We're going to worship. You come and respond to God as he moves on your heart. And I'll come and dismiss us in just a moment. God bless you.